I am just feeling so strongly in the spirit that this harvest that is coming in, and the need to be ready for these, you know, all of these people that are going to be coming, and I mean, we're already experiencing it. I'm getting calls, you know, one or two calls a week, or people in our little group that say, "Oh, can I bring a friend? Can I bring somebody else?" And the dilemma we're being faced with is, okay, it took us 5 months. It took me 2 years of listening to Ian to just learn the language, and to start learning the language and understand, you know, what you guys are even talking about sometimes, and you know, the whole protocol and all of that kind of stuff. Now I've been taking this group for 5-6 months now through some of these basic things and really concentrating on the gates and, you know, we've got to take care of our stuff, and, you know, it's way more than inner healing, and of course live busting is going to be so awesome. But how do we handle this? I mean, just even right now, I don't know how to handle the new people that want to come in and, you know, like, to stay true to our course and our mandate, which is to go, you know, we're getting ready for something. We have something God's training us for, but then to have new people come in and try to bring them up to speed without delaying everybody else, you know, like that we can keep moving along. And I mean, that was one thing Gary Beaton said last night. You know, we have to get ready. It's going to be like, when that harvest starts coming in, it's going to be like 1,000 Torontos going on at the same time, with the outpouring of God and, you know, stadiums being filled and just thousands and tens of thousands coming into the kingdom in every single little city. And, you know, we aren't ready for it. So my first question is, how do we handle it even right now? You know, training people and keep getting people up to speed. I know you're doing it with your track. I listened to your message Sunday. That was so good. So that's
okay. Well, if you think about it as discipleship, and you know, discipleship is helping people to follow Jesus. And if we bring people into a relationship with Jesus from the beginning, in which the complete expectation and experience is to follow him, to hear his voice, to engage with him, so it's an experiential relationship rather than an intellectual one, then anybody coming in new, we have to find new ways of engaging people right at the beginning. And, you know, and what I was saying really on Sunday and the previous Sunday really was about that. You know, we have to find ways that people can engage with God and experience him, and not have to go through all the dreary, boring years of we know this in our heads, but we've never really experienced it stuff. And so if we know that we're called to be equipping, we must believe that the Holy Spirit is going to equip us to disciple people. And that discipleship process will be accelerated and energized by what God is doing and releasing out of heaven. And as you know, we're living under the atmosphere of the earth. Very few everlasting doors are really opened. And when they are, it is a dramatic in Toronto or Lakeland or Brownsville type thing, you know, and those things get noticed all over the earth because they are so out of the ordinary. But we tend to think of them as out of the ordinary, therefore we're not expecting the dimensions of the power, anointing, presence of God, let alone his glorious presence, when he comes and manifests himself in tangible glory. So we're only looking at how it has been rather than what it will be like. And so when you sort of, oh, how can we do all that? Once you engage in obedience to God, in fulfilling your mandate and call, God's enabling comes on it. I mean, 12 months ago, when you know I first you know started thinking about engaging with more people, and I looked at it and thought exactly the same as you did. How could we? How can I possibly do what I'm doing now, and engage with more people, and even a few people? And I was just thinking, I just don't think it's possible. But when I, when God really impressed on me the importance of it for my destiny and for what I would need to outwork in my life, and you know, He got me to take that inside my heart. Then it totally changed my perspective. And then it wasn't like I was trying to work out how I could do it. I just started doing it. And as I started doing it, then God began to give me a greater capacity for doing it. And then my time, which, you know, I'm doing exactly the same as I was doing 12 months ago, with not meeting anybody outside of our local church setting other than my local leaders and the sort of bench of three regionally every once a month. And yet now I'm connecting with 8 to 10 groups a week. And I'm still doing everything I was before, but I've got a greater capacity, and so time seems to stretch. And I'm able to do things quicker, or seemingly quicker, so that I've got more time and more capacity to do other things. And in doing it, I feel really fulfilled, and I feel that, hey, this is totally in line with the destiny of God. Therefore, I'm not tired. I'm not in any way stretched by it, other than, you know, there's more groups and different things I'm trying to sort of find the actual time slots for. But the reality is, once you start to engage with what God's true destiny is, God starts to make a way. And so when it comes to new people, if they're new believers, full stop, hey, those are the best people to get hold of, because they've got no hang-ups, or shouldn't have too many hang-ups in the sense of the religious side of things. So you just introduce them to Jesus. And in reality, you only really need to be a few steps ahead of someone for them to follow those steps, because all you're doing is actually looking to point them to follow Jesus. And so if they begin to follow Jesus, and Jesus begins to talk to them directly, then they will build their own relationship with God. You only have to be there to continually point them to that and help them in that process. You know, and I think we have to expect that God is going to supernaturally enable people to engage with Him and transform them really quickly. The problem is, you know, we're the ones who carry all the stuff right now that we're looking to be transformed. Therefore, we have to get so much stuff in our minds renewed, and so many things that we've have thought like changed. So yeah, as I was saying, I think when we're looking at things now, you know, we are looking at things from the perspective of how we've always been, and not how it's going to be. And normalcy is a problem, because people just think everything's going to be the same, and therefore it's difficult to envisage how things could be different. But things are different, and things are happening, and we're experiencing things now that we didn't, you know. And in those experiences and in the things we are engaging in, God is active in them to open up new opportunities and to inspire new vision and fresh revelation that moves us forward quickly. And in an atmosphere where heaven is open and we've cleared away some of the atmosphere of the earth that's hindering us, then we're going to see completely different ways in which God is going to meet with people. Now, where you are personally with your situations now, and more people come on board that maybe have not experienced the things, I think you just need to develop a series of things, even take some of my sessions or whatever, whichever you feel, and say, look, these are the things you need to catch up with. And the person who is inviting those people, give them the responsibility to disciple them in those initial stages of hearing God's voice, being able to tune into the Spirit, the very basic stuff, that then when they come and join with a bigger group, they're coming into an environment where things are already going on, and that is an open heaven environment. You know, and so, you know, I see, you know, when I'm connecting up with more people now, it's much easier for them to connect because of what I'm carrying. And as you carry that, and as the people within your group carry that, you'll find that those people who come in won't be starting from scratch. They'll be coming into an environment which is already open. It's like when you first started your group and we were talking, you know, about it and stuff, it was like, oh, well, you know, they don't really understand, they're not really where, and now they're engaging and they're experiencing things, and because they've practiced and they've gone with it over a period. So I think, okay, have a sort of a basic, this is a couple of weeks that someone with someone, a couple of hours, can someone can spend with somebody to equip them, hey, look, this is what you need to expect when you're going to come into this environment, and then that just prepares them, you know. And I think that would be okay. And they would, if they're hungry, then God is going to meet their hunger, and they're going to experience him. And, you know, with things like live busting and things like that, if there are real blockages, then we use those tools to help people clear the blockages, and so that we move forward. And I don't think you don't have to go with the lowest common denominator, because any experience that someone has of God is a valuable experience and will prepare them for things to come. You know, and it will be a positive thing. Even if they don't understand everything right now, none of us understand it all right now. We're all working towards something, towards the future. And so, you know, I wouldn't be too concerned about other people coming on board. It's like, because rather, oh no, we have to go back to the beginning. No, don't go back to the beginning. Just keep going. But if there's something in place that would help them just get the basics, you know, that I think would be a good way. Because, you know, I think God is moving things. You know, I've had some experiences over the last couple of weeks that I've not had before, and I've seen some things that I've not seen before, and I've experienced some things I've personally not seen before, because God is taking us into a new season. You know, yesterday I had my first experience of being transported in a way, you know. And I was going to meet the Bench of Three, and it's like a 45 minute drive, I guess. And I was on the way, and I left late because I was seeing someone earlier and it overran. So I left late, and I was driving there, and I got sort of about halfway there, and I saw the next town on my journey, because it's a country area and you go through little villages and things. And I saw it, and I saw the church tower in the distance, and I turned a corner, and I carried on, turned around the bend, carried on around the thing. And I, after 5 minutes, I was thinking, oh, where's that place? You know, I'm sure I've not gone through it yet. And as I thought about it, I then looked up, and ahead of me was the turning to go to the place I was going. And so I got there, and I checked the mileage that I'd done, because I checked it before I started. So I checked it there, noted it down, because I thought this, and I got there 5 minutes earlier than I normally would. Yeah, and so on the way back, I drove back, you know, and I went through that village, and when I got back, I looked at the mileage of the car, and it was 5.5 miles less. You know, the journey out was 5.5 miles less than the journey home. And it didn't feel like anything had actually really happened. In a sense, I didn't feel like there was any shift in anything, but actually, I was taking 5.5 miles in an instant, I guess. And so I'd never had that before in that way. And I asked God to say, okay, you know, what are you trying to show me? And really what he was saying was, there is new things coming, and take that now as your testimony that this is can happen to you. And then when you need to be able to apply that, then you will be able to apply that specifically. You know, so, you know, there's those type of experiences that I think God is releasing that is taking us to a new dimension, a new level in things in God. And I've had a few of those recently that have been interesting things that have, but I've pursued them, you know, in a sense. It's like some things I've pursued, you know, when I've seen something, you know, I go after it and I seek revelation about certain things. You know, I shared, I think, before, you know, I had this encounter with the Galactic Council, and it was like, you know, where am I? What am I doing here? You know, but it was like, okay, you know, and so I went back to God and I was talking to him, and I went around the ark and I was like with him there, and I was like, okay, what was the purpose of that? And so he just spoke to me, and he told me about raising me up to something and showing me something new, and I would be able to see new things. And so I thought, okay, I need to pursue that. So I was meditating around that. And then I decided, okay, perhaps what he's telling me is, again, something to do with what I need to do. And so I decided to go back there. You know, the first time I was taken there, but I decided to go back. So I stepped back into that court, and it felt totally different, because now I was coming and I thought, what do I do? And I just knew what to do. And so I presented something to that Galactic Council. So I presented a case to them, and I presented a case that brought our area and the prophetic things that God had spoken about our area, and I brought it before that Galactic Council. And it was very interesting, because they were not noting things down, and they were doing stuff that I couldn't exactly see what they're doing, but they were active while I was presenting this case. And I brought prophetic words from this case out of the things that I know have been prophesied into our area. I brought those words. I brought things about the City of Refuge and what the City of Refuge had been, about everlasting doors being open. I got in a flow that I just started bringing stuff and presenting a case before this court. You know, when I'd finished, I sort of stood there thinking, oh, what's going to happen now? You know, because I'd never been in a situation like that. You know, I've done things in the court, or I'd taken a scroll, but this was something on a bigger scale and for a different dimension. And they spoke to me, and one of them addressed me and basically said, yeah, we are taking your case under advisement, and we are going to agree the levels of judgment, justice, and grace that will be needed. And that was it. I stepped back out thinking, okay, knowing that they are seated, you know, sitting right now, and they go through periods where they deal with different things, feeling, okay, they got my case, you know, and they're on that, you know, and so I will, you know, I will know, I think, when I need to go back there, or I'll be called back there to see how that is going to be outworked and what that will mean in terms of timescale. But, you know, a lot of the smaller encounters or things that you have which seem random or seem out of the ordinary, or God takes you somewhere, we must use those things to go back and find out more and to explore it and to get the revelation of it, you know, so that we can get the fullness of each encounter and each thing. And God is, I think, just unveiling different things. You know, I don't know whether everyone can go there. I would think everyone in a capacity who's operating in a regional bench or should be able to go there to present their case for their area. I know you guys were saying, you know, some people have been praying for 20, 30 years for their area. I think that probably gives them some leeway to be able to say, hey, you know, I carry this area in my heart, therefore I can bring this area and I can release this area, and therefore, you know, I begin to administer that. You know, what is the scroll? And, you know, I think I was listening to Robert Henderson talking about the books, and it's the same thing, the books being open, the books of that area or that region or that town or city. And actually, that's the stuff that we need to be able to engage with. And then when we get those things, you know, and seeing that where prophecy has come out of those books that have already been agreed, then you can bring that prophecy as the, you know, the testimony. You know, it's the testimony of Jesus, it's the spirit of prophecy. And so that all goes to the case that we have to seeing a manifestation of the kingdom, you know, in our region and our area and through the different spheres that we've been called. But I can see, you know, God is just releasing these protocols and releasing this understanding, and different people sort of receive it in different ways. You know, I'd not really listened to Robert Henderson before, but I really felt this week called to just listen to it, because I know you'd sort of put some stuff up on the Facebook page where it was a link to various things. And I was talking to a guy from Washington on Tuesday, and it was interestingly he had listened to Robert Henderson the same day. We'd actually listened to the same thing. So I thought, actually, okay, God is starting to stir something here. And then I basically released it to all our leadership team here to say, look, this is not new, but it gives a different way of thinking about it that actually gives a bigger picture of some of the things that we're doing and learning to do, which I think will be helpful. You know, because he's a good communicator, you know, and it's clear, you know. Now, he's not going necessarily into all the different courts as yet. I've not heard him talk about all the different ones I've been into, but the basic principles are there of what we do is in a judicial sense, rather than this, oh, well, we're going to go to war in prayer. No, we go and get judicial authority, and then we can outwork what we need to do in terms of bringing it into being and landing those things, as he puts it. So I think, you know, we've got to be really open to the things that God's doing right now, and God will enable us to be ready for when this comes. You know, I think we mustn't be fearful, oh no, we're not ready. God will enable us to be ready. If we're willing, God will enable us to be ready. And, you know, what is ready? It's just being a step to lead someone else a step. You know, that's all we really need. You know, so long as our relationship with God is intimate, and we're hearing him in fellowship with him, in relationship with him, that will enable us to do what he's telling us to do, you know. And then, you know, there's going to be plenty of mentors around in these things to be able to help people engage, you know, because God is raising them up, you know, and these are some of the people that we're talking about. You know, God is raising them up. They carry a perspective. And the various perspectives, I think people will relate to different ones better than others, perhaps. But actually, those various perspectives is giving us a fuller picture of what it's going to look like and what we need to do to bring it about. So, you know, I wouldn't be too concerned, so long as we're moving in the right direction. The pace of that direction can change dramatically, you know. Because, as I said, you know, 12 months ago, I would not have imagined or envisioned being able to do what I'm doing now. But I am, you know, because I was willing to obey, and I was willing to step out, and God's done the rest. You know, I didn't have to make things happen. As you say, people are being drawn. The Spirit of God is releasing this sound from heaven, and people are being drawn to it. Well, we need to embrace those that are being drawn to it. You know, if people come with the attitude of, you know, well, I'm trying to find fault in this, or I'm checking this out because I'm suspicious, then I wouldn't receive those sort of people. You know, because actually they're not coming with a hungry heart, and they're not being drawn. You know, those that are being drawn who've got no idea potentially what it is, great. You know, because that's the heart. Let's be amateurs in the new rather than professionals in the old. And therefore, let's embrace that, you know. And I think you'll probably, you just need to discern where people's hearts are before they fully engage. And I think that would be a sort of a pre-engagement connection with somebody to find out those things. But other than that, you know, the more people that you can gather, the more people you're going to be able to help. And then the more people they will be able to help. Because ultimately, we want all the people now to be taking groups of people like you're taking, and then they would take groups of people like, and therefore, it's not down to you. You only have to work with your group. They have to then work with the groups that they're working with, and it all grows exponentially out of that and multiplies, you know, because, you know, Jesus only worked with one group, but those then people work with 3,000 people. So eventually everyone was actually being in relationship with one another. The key is it has to be relational. You know, that's the key. It's a relational thing that God's doing. So, yeah.
Oh, one thing I did want to ask you, Mike, you know, being on that Facebook page, I have referred to you quite a bit, and actually yesterday I even posted something from your forum on the page, and I didn't even realize it till after I posted it. I had never asked you if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I did. As a result of that, I did get about 20 people who requested to join the forum.
I'm sorry.
No problem. I mean, the forum fairly is because I'm doing other things, it's sort of fairly inactive in terms of new questions, but actually there's a lot of wealth of material there that will answer a lot of the older questions.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's still a useful resource for people, even if, you know, people, you know, because I'm connecting up with people personally, they don't necessarily need to ask me on the forum, but, you know, but I still... You know, I still answer stuff there because it's useful, because then more people can see it than just if I answer a personal message, only one person seeing it. Whereas at least if it's answered in that setting, lots of people can see it and have access to it in the future, you know, as a resource.
Right, and everything's so categorized and listed out, you know, you can go a particular thread. Is there any way to do that with all the YouTube videos? I know... You have that little blurb at the bottom of the YouTube videos that tells what it is, but unless you search through all of them, you don't know which one is about which. I know they're in order of date. Do you know if there's a way to do that?
A
topic or subject search in those? Or
no, I you can categorize them, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure... The problem is they've been just reactive to whatever questions people ask.
Right.
And so there's a mixture of things within them, which means there's no one clear topic necessarily within each subject. The ones that have got activation exercises, that would probably be easier to put a menu, if you like, up there of different activation exercises. The questions... Yeah, some of them are quite good in that I remember what people have asked and I jot down the questions and then put them on there. And some of them are not so good because I just forget. And then it's like, oh, what was it that we talked about? But I think ultimately going forward, I think to make it easier for people to engage in it would be a good thing to do. And I'll check it out and see if I can think of a better way, or at least maybe put a menu up there or a general menu of sort of the basic ones or the ones that have got questions about. I could probably do it or get someone to do it. I'll see if I can.
Oh, I'm not asking you to do more work. I was just wondering.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, regarding kind of what we've been talking about a little bit and the kind of get that, like, a maturing process, I guess my question has to do with that, but it's more along the lines of somebody that, how do I put this? In other words, they don't engage their will. It is more intellectual, I guess. They don't engage their heart in the process. And I'll just, we have a, you know, I deal with a lot of the ladies at this home that are coming out of a, you know, drug and alcohol abuse, we try to really take them through a year-long program of restoration. But by the end, I'm thinking, you know, they should really well be immersed in a lot of, and definitely in the relationship and the experiencing God and the things of the Spirit. And sometimes it seems like, and outside the home too, I've seen this too, and just other people, where they're, it's like they say they want it, but their will's not really engaged in it. They're making a choice to just go through the motions of it, kind of. So how would you pray for that? How would you break? I mean, obviously, Jesus has to break their will, so to speak, or they have to be willing to submit. But how would you, I don't think the process, I'm like, I feel like there's a quicker process to that than is really happening. I guess that might be two different questions, but
yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, with people who are coming out of difficult situations, and you're looking to engage them in a relationship with God when their previous relationships are pretty messed up, I guess, in a lot of people, then it's focusing on the encountering God in ways which will meet them where they are. And so if there's like, okay, problem with authority figures or father figures, or that engaging God as a problem with the father, then, you know, you to go in and try and hit that head on is really quite difficult, because the nature of their problem is the nature that you're trying to engage them in. So you engage them in Jesus as a friend, or the Holy Spirit as a guide for them. And then, of course, Jesus says, you know, the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus, and Jesus points people to the Father. And so then once they've established an intimacy with Jesus, then Jesus then can point them to the Father, and they can get a wholeness in their relationship. And so I would look to do things totally differently than we've done them in the past, and we're looking to, you know, set up encounters to people to meet with God and let God meet with them, and trust that in opening the opportunity for someone to meet with Jesus or meet with the Holy Spirit or meet with the Father, that experience and encounter itself will do something in their heart. And you can help them by facilitating that. Obviously, the whole ministry of Livebusters is totally facilitating. Okay, let's come to God. God is going to tell you now what he wants to deal with. You know, so it's all about the Holy Spirit being involved in leading. And in the same thing in an encounter, okay, someone needs to have never met God at all. They know about him maybe through upbringing, but they've never really personally experienced him. Generally, what we would do is, like, we would lead them in a prayer of repentance, and then we would probably pray for them. But let's find different ways of doing it. So that becomes something which is, actually, let's actually find a way that opens up them to experience him. So what are they doing? Well, they could be drinking living water that becomes in them a spring of water that they can continue drinking to find life. Or they could be, you know, opening up their heart so that God comes to dwell inside them. And so, or they could be coming, carrying all the weights and feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation, and they're coming to a Father who has their arms open to welcome them and give them a new ring to say that they're welcomed into the family, a new set of clothes, a celebration of joy. But they can't carry all their stuff and embrace God, so they have to lay down all their stuff. So in a sense, I think we need to find ways that Jesus did it in parables, stories. We need to find the encounters that people can have that they experience him, not just pray a prayer and we hope that something might have happened. And so I believe that when we start to do that, they will begin to experience. And that will bring their birth into the kingdom, or coming into the family, as something which is experiential rather than something which is intellectual. Because we've no idea when someone prays a prayer. Are they being born again? Is their spirit coming alive? And actually, sometimes, you know, and a lot of our evangelistic methods have been almost like, I'm not saying manipulative, but they emotionally can be getting people to respond to an altar call or do something, which, is it real? And how many of them were spiritually premature? Because what they were doing was because someone else got them to pray a prayer or do something, rather than, okay, do you want to meet with God, and do you want to become a follower of Him and in relationship with Him? And so, rather than, okay, do you want to get saved, do you want your ticket to heaven, whatever way we express it, we have to present it the way Jesus did. Do you want to follow Him for the rest of your life? And that's what Jesus invited people to do. Come and follow Me. He never invited anyone to get saved, or He never invited anyone to be converted. He invited people to follow Him. But we get asked people to get saved, and we put other titles on it that Jesus certainly didn't. Now, it is a salvation experience. But what is salvation? It's entering into a relationship with Him in which all the benefits of His, who He is and what He's done on the cross, become ours, because we become part of the family. And so trying to find illustrations of actual encounter, I think that's what we need to try and do. So when it comes to, okay, someone is struggling with their will, actually, do they have the desire in their heart? Because if they have the desire in their heart, that will draw them towards it. If we try and get them to make a choice based on willpower, actually, is that choice ever going to really engage them? Because it's not an issue of will. It's an issue of desire of the heart. And introducing them to a Jesus that they want to engage with because their desires are for the relationship, rather than maybe, you know, other ways in which we've presented that relationship, I think God is going to give us better ways of doing it. And then, you know, when you enter into a relationship with someone that has gone to the cross, then you can receive everything that was done on the cross through that relationship, which would be salvation, as in wholeness and protection and provision, you know, and purpose. And, you know, if we're not introducing people to their destiny and the purpose of God for their life, then we're really offering them, come and be part of a club, or, you know, come and get your fire insurance for heaven. And I really don't think that's what salvation is about. And I think so much of how we've presented things has created rods for our own back further down the line. You know, and if we present it as, come to Jesus and He will meet all your needs and He will sort you out and He will do this and He'll do that for you, and we don't actually present it about, well, you come and follow Him, and as you're following Him, all these things will get sorted out in your life, because your priorities will change, your thinking will change, you will be following Him in a direction that He's going to take you away from the things that you were before, and He's going to lead you away from those things. I think we have to find better stories and better parables to help people engage, rather than the intellectual way in which we've presented it, as it's a choice, therefore just make the choice, you know. And I just think everything really is up for grabs for change. And so with the people that you're working with now, it's like, okay, if it's like, do they really want this? Actually, are they really saved? You know, are they really in a relationship with Jesus? And did they come into that to follow Him? Because if they didn't, that's probably the reason why they're actually struggling to really engage with it, because they didn't enter into the right door. So take them back to the first door and re-illustrate, look, this is what this is about, rather than maybe what you thought before, you know. And part of that, I think, then people will receive things in a much easier way, you know. And if we're then ministering to people in that you're going to meet with God and God is going to set you free, rather than I'm going to counsel you through this or I'm going to pray for you to do this, I think then it's all about what God does with the person and it's not about what we do. And therefore, then we're just going to trust God. And it's not down to how anointed we are, or it's just about we're introducing them to God, and we got to trust that God will do it. You know, and yes, if we got questions, they got questions, we can help them, but we have to point them back to God. You know, it's so much ministry, and so much, I think, creates almost a dependence on people rather than a relationship with God. And we have to get to a relationship with God. That is the key in all of it. You know, in everything I'm doing, I'm just trying to open doors to people to connect with God and then go and pursue it. You know, if people become dependent on me opening doors for them, then I'm failing in what I'm doing, because I want just the doors to create a greater desire that then people can say, hey, yeah, I went back there and I did this, and my desire for relationship with God actually caused me to say, hey, I'm going to spend more time with him, because the desire to do that is greater than the desire I had to do something else, because it comes out of the desire of our heart. And helping people to have those desires comes with knowing who God really is, you know, rather than the portrayal of what God is portrayed in church and institution. And, you know, it's like, you know, when I think Philip Yancey started writing books like, you know, The Jesus I Never Knew and things like that, it opened up a whole area where some of the religious ideas of Jesus sort of were challenged. Now we need a whole different set of things which challenge to another level, because even that Jesus isn't the Jesus that we're now experiencing. So there's so much more to come, and that was a step then that opened up a whole lot of religious mindsets to the fact that what they've been brainwashed with was not true, and this person is not really like how he's been presented. Now we have to begin presenting him in an even more greater dimension of degree of intimacy and relationship and true fellowship and experience with him. So, you know, I think probably in a lot of these things we just have to go back to first principles about the relationship, and if they really didn't get one and it isn't really functioning like that, then it isn't going to work no matter what we try and get people to do, because they'll be doing it mostly in their own strength rather than in a relationship where they're walking with Jesus in it. You know, so, you know, that's not to say we can't minister to them, but actually let's try and get them to get God's ministry. And even in the ministry, it's try and get it back to what God is doing and what Jesus is doing, and bring it experientially back to that. You know, which is why I love Live Busters type of things, and why I love the fact that, you know, we're just looking to open people's hearts, and once those hearts are open, their desires will change. You know, they will. You know, yes, there may be things in the will that you have to deal with. See, I think you can live bus gates. You know, I think live busing is a greater tool than just using it in a sense of, okay, God, what do you want to do? I think also you can use it in, okay, God, how can you help me in this area? So let's look at what are the blockages to me feeling God's love, or what are the blockages to me feeling this? So I think, because all you're doing is asking God to show what is a blockage, and then you're asking him to help deal with the blockage and remove it in the same way. So there may be things that are specific things that are to do with people who have a background with addictions or with brokenness or with abuse, but emotionally they're damaged. So we get them to experience emotional connection with God that will then begin to heal their emotions, because he's the healer. And an embrace from him can do more than 50 prayers from us. You know, because that's how it healed me. My father wounds got healed when God told me he loved me and kept telling me he loved me until all the wounds had been, all the scar tissue had been removed, you know. And I know that God can do that. And even if it's us initially who is the voice of God speaking to somebody, that's how we have to use it. It's actually, no, God is speaking to you. You know, it's his voice that you're going to hear. And so go with it like that, I think. So, yeah.
Just in addition to that, have you helped anyone work on their DNA or the things that have come from previous generations in their DNA or anything like that?
Yeah.
What's your process for that or your prayer for that? How do you kind of facilitate that?
Well, I cover it mostly in the Transformation series, really, but it's again getting them connected with God and allowing God to show people. You know, when I looked at my DNA, I asked him to show me what was in my DNA. Simple as that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, is there iniquity within my genetic makeup? Is there seed line which is not pure? So actually, I don't even carry pure DNA. I have, you know, whether it's fallen angel DNA or Nephilim DNA or DNA of Cain or whatever, you know, whether it's serpent DNA or something. If I'm carrying a mixture in my DNA, then I need it purified. I purify it by applying the body and blood of Jesus to it. You know, I may need to repent on behalf of my forefathers and what they've done. I may need to stand in the courts in identification repentance for what was done. You know, lie busting does the same thing in that, okay, generationally, what happened in this generation that opened my generational line up to pollution. You know, and that, again, it's asking the questions to get God to give us the answers. But actually seeing that the solutions are very much simpler than we thought. And, you know, if they are those things, then we can actually just apply the same basic principles and ongoingly, as we take communion, we speak the words of God, the life of God. We see that as a vibrating force of God's power to bring transformation within our DNA. Then we start to think about our DNA in terms of wholeness, and we begin to focus on that, and it's all part of the process of transformation. You know, I don't, you know, when I started to ask God to show me, he began to show me. So when I would go to break bread, I would get flashbacks of things which were from previous generations, right back to before the flood and everything else. And I saw things. Then I showed him, asked him, what is that? And he basically told me what it was, you know. And it was like, okay, I need to repent on behalf of my forefathers for that. And then every effect that's had genetically, because, you know, in epigenetics, you can change genetic material in one generation. So I can change it in me by how I think and speak and act and what I apply to it. And all I can say is I'm no longer affected by what I was affected by before, because I ask God to search my heart and to know if there is any wicked or iniquitous way within me. And because my heart carries the first record of all the DNA of everything that's gone back from previous generations, then as God showed me those things about my heart, and particularly patterns that were like some things, you know, that you've done that has caused the enemy to have access, and therefore you repent for what you've done. And so, yeah, I sinned or I lied or I did this. Yeah, I need to repent of that. And okay, the access is closed. But I had certain things which were like almost like irrational things that, well, why is that a pattern, or why is that a weak area, or what is it that draws me to that in particular? Because it, like, I've done nothing in that seemingly is connected to that. And I found that some of those things were seed line things, and when I traced it back, asking God to show me, that he showed me, this is where the seed in your DNA is not pure, and therefore that seed has access to trigger certain things within your personality and within your drawing, if you like, well, the things you're drawn towards. I mean, I think Proverbs describes it as you're a bent, you know, something you're drawn towards. And it can be a positive thing, because, like, you know, bring up a child in the way he should go and he won't depart from it. And literally, when you look at the Hebrew construct of that passage, it says, you know, train up a child in the way in which he is bent or bent towards. And it's like the destiny. It's something that we're designed for. And so there are certain things within our genetic material that sets us up for certain behaviors or drawings towards certain behaviors or people even or different things, which if you're honest and if you're really asking God to search you and know your heart and put you on trial and show the anxious thoughts and see if there's any iniquitous, wicked, idolatrous ways, some of it comes through idolatry, you know, in previous generations. We may have never been idolatrous. We may have our own idolatrous stuff in terms of materialism or things that we have in our generation. But, you know, after the flood, in which initially, before the flood, you had genetic pollution and Nephilim and all that sort of things. After the flood, although, yes, there were in the Promised Land the Canaanites and the different giants, there was much more. The whole thing was drawing people away to idolatry towards other gods who were, in effect, the same things masquerading, but they masqueraded as different things. And so they put on an air of, we are gods. So therefore, all the religious systems that came out after the flood came from smarter Nephilim, who didn't present as necessary great big giants. They presented as Molech and Baal and, you know, those Dagon and all the different things that suddenly was, hey, worship me and I will make things good for you. And so the idolatry became a big problem. And that idolatry gave, again, access into our genetic material and seed line stuff, bloodline stuff, which still has an effect. So let's. But if we ask God to search our heart, then he does, and we go through the process of opening that. And now, you know, I can see much easier how to deal with some of those things because of lie busting and things like that, where you ask God to specifically tell you. You know, because my relationship with God was such that I could hear him, I was effectively doing that process on myself without really knowing that that's what the process was. I just asked God to show me something, and he would show me, and then I would look to, how do I deal with that? And I would go with what I felt to deal with it, you know. And so, yeah, I think that whole area is an area where we need to be aware of. But as we present ourselves as living sacrifices, those things will be hindrances to the level of authority that we can have until they're dealt with. And so the realms of heaven of I'm a living sacrifice, you know, I'm presenting myself here to through the cross to deal with the surface behaviors of my life. Now I'm going to present myself into the holy place where the light from the menorah is going to be shone on my life, and therefore the thoughts and intentions of my heart are going to be revealed at a deeper level. You know, so you're going from dividing soul and spirit behaviors, you know, to the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the motivation, and then you're going to bone and marrow, which is the genetic material. And so as you are becoming purer and purer and purer in those things, then you get access to engaging or greater levels of authority. You know, that's why it's so important to present ourselves as living sacrifice and keep doing it, so that God can use us and prepare us to serve. And actually, if there's a whole load of things that the enemy's got access to, God is not going to release us into some things because it's dangerous. Because the enemy can get access through those things, through us. So he wants the process of purification and refining to remove those things within our hearts so that we can be clearer. And I'm not saying we have to be perfect because we're all in a process, but there's levels of things that you go through. that deal with the major issues around that. And then once you've got the principles correct, God just again now and again brings something up, and it's like, oh right, okay, yeah, I could see that. You know, because generally most of it has sort of been done. You know.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, Mike, one real quick question. This was my question from last week, and I know we're real close to the end of our time here, but I wanted to get you to kind of describe, maybe give a better, at least for me and even folks that I'm talking to, how do you know you have a mandate? And then we're learning this whole process of you take your once you have a mandate, you go and go to heaven, and that's when you get the scroll and get it authorized and all of that. But it seems like that whole process starts with this mandate. I feel like, at least for me, it's something that's I'm coming to know. I'm becoming aware of. You know, I'm beginning to see it. It's not like I can write it down. It's like a feeling. It's a desire that's welling up in me. Is that a mandate
Well, your number one place to start with is the scroll of your destiny. So, and that's what's been agreed for you. You know, whether you call it the books of your life, those things that have been written before you've come into this realm about what God has called you to, and so that's the starting point. And of course, you're not going to see the whole of that in one big go. So God is going to release that to engage the desires of your heart so that you begin to get drawn to those things you need along your journey and to go to the places you need or engage in the relationships you need. And you find that, you know, there is a network of kingdom connections that becomes open and you connect into it. And so that really, that gives you your mandate for everything in your life. It is your, that is your authorization in the kingdom to do what you've been called to do by God. And so that's the starting point. And the closer we draw to God, the more the desires of our heart get drawn toward that. You know, when I start to go around the ark of his presence, then you know, he starts to write things on the tablets of my heart or unveil the things that are already and written on the tablets of my heart so that I connect with them. So all that's part of the process that we go through. Now, once you then start to see that there are some specifics that come out, so, you know, you may feel, okay, I don't know, as an example, you may feel called to an area. So you feel, hey, I've got something in my heart for this area. I really don't feel, you know, maybe necessary call to the nation or whatever, but I actually do feel called to this. And it could be, okay, the sphere, which is tied, really, this is sort of connected to your mountain, if you like, because your mountain is you, and it is composited of that mandate, that scroll, because that's where you outwork it from heaven. And then the seven mountains that are associated with that are mandates for specific areas. And so once you connect up with what those areas are, then okay, well, how am I going to do those things? And they may come to you directly, you know, because now I'm taking people there and asking God to show them what those things are. And you may get direct words, names for those mountains, and sometimes they can be a little bit cryptic, or they can mean things that, okay, well, what does that mean? But then you go and find out what it means. Or you can actually see, look, I'm going to look back over my life and think, what are the things that I've always been drawn to? You know, what are the things that have been my desires? And you know, there are various ways to discern what is our destiny. And some of the things is, where have been the greatest opposition in my life? You know, what are the areas that have been opposed the most? Because the enemy doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. So you can, if you're searching it out, there are various ways there you can look to just in relationship with God, connect up. Now, you know, because it is a journey, and because we need to engage in certain places or certain people on the journey, then God doesn't usually tell us 15 steps ahead, because our nature would be we'll try and jump to that point and miss what's in between. So it's very much, okay, I have these seven mountains. Well, what am I supposed to do on them? Well, okay, God, where do I start? What is the thing that draws me the most? I'll start there. And then, okay, so now I know this. Let's say the area could be physical healing. I really feel called to physical healing. I've got a desire to pray for the sick. I've done that in the past. I feel this is going to be something which is going to be a greater dimension. Okay, well, where do I start? Well, okay, I carry on praying for people. I don't miss opportunities of praying for people, that stuff. Okay, is it more than that? Is that a ministry that I have to step out and begin? Is it something I do within my local church setting? Is it something that is going to be happening every day in every normal areas? You know, am I in the future, am I going to set up a health center which is going to minister holistically to people? Well, you aren't going to set up a health center without praying for the person to be healed, you know. So in a sense, you start at the beginning. And you know, what I would now do in all these situations, I would then take that, okay, here's my mandate to be involved in healing. So then I'm going to take that mandate into heaven. I'm going to take that mandate to, let's say, the court of strategy, you know, in terms of the court of war, and I'm going to go and say, okay, I want a scroll that relates to that mandate. Or I'm going to go to the tree of life and take a scroll from the tree, of one of the leaves of the tree, and say, I want the scroll that's going to relate to this area. You know, or, you know, and sometimes you see things in the river of life and you can engage them. So it's the different places you can go depending on where you are on your journey. And, you know, if it's more relational right now and you're learning to engage in that sort of level of relationship, you can do it there, you know. But I would then take that scroll and what is revealed on there as my strategy. So I take that to my mountain, and I begin to, according to whatever it's been, whatever's there, there may be some specific things that you're given to do, you know, like things you do naturally in terms of doing something, setting up something, you know, opening your house one evening a week for anyone who wants to come and be prayed for to be healed. There's various things you might get as a strategy. But before I would do those things in the natural realm, I would call them forth in the spiritual realm. So I would be on my mountain calling things that be not as if they were. So I'm calling forth my healing ministry. I'm calling forth this, an open evening, or I'm calling forth the things that I've seen. I'm going to then command every obstacle to be removed that's a hindrance to that. So any mountain that's in the way, I'm going to be command to be moved. I'm going to do whatever I need to do there, then I am going to take that scroll to the court of angels, and I'm going to get angelic assignment to clear the airways, to go before me to prepare the way, to go out and call people who need healing, that I'm going to pray for healing to come across my path. So I'm sort of actively pursuing that area. And you know, at that level, that's when then I'm looking for fruit. So I'm then beginning to look around me, looking for the fruit of what I'm doing as an indication of where I am in the process. And so I would expect there to be manifestation of healing. You know, I would expect there to be greater opportunities that open up. It may be all of a sudden someone calls you to go and talk somewhere about healing, because you seem to have a reputation that is for it, and you begin to open up different things. And it's like God opens the doors. What I wouldn't do is try and push doors open. I would sort of see, okay, according to this scroll, I have the keys of David. I think it's Isaiah 22:2 or something like that. So something in Isaiah where it talks about the keys of David that open doors. And I'm looking to make sure that God opens the doors. You know, I'm not going to push the timing of it before time. I'm going to wait for God to do it. So, like, you know, in talking about the things I've been doing, when I first responded to God and said for him to be proactive and look to engage with people, you know, all I did was, okay, I'll be obedient. I will use what is at my hand. So I used the forum to say, God's called me to be more proactive. If you know anyone who might be interested in getting connected with the forum, and I'll do that. But actually, I'm also thinking about, maybe does anyone want to connect personally? Well, I think you, Peter, were one of the first ones who said yes. You know, there was another guy, and then Andra. So there's probably those first three people were the first people I began to engage with, like face to face on, you know, on Google Hangouts. You know, I just, you know, if no one had said, oh, I want to hang out, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So God stirred the desires in your hearts to say, oh, yeah, we want to connect here in some way. So I then began to connect with you because you were being stirred by God in your heart, and then there's something in the kingdom that gets connected. Relationship gets established, and through relationship, then things can then begin to grow, you know? And that's all I did. I didn't go out and think, right, how can I try and create a YouTube channel? Never even thought about it. And when we were first connecting, we never recorded any of the sessions because never even thought about doing it. Then someone contacted me and said to me one day, who'd listened to one of the messages, you know, on the website in terms of teaching series, and said to me, have you ever thought about putting this up as a YouTube? And I said, no, because it's not visual. It's just, well, that's no problem. You just put up a picture of you and you just put the vocals up there and people can listen to it, because YouTube is a better way of connecting with people, because people actually are searching for things. I thought, okay. But I didn't actually do it. I just thought, oh, that might be interesting. Well, then having then connected with a group in the UK, the first group in the UK, and it didn't work, you know, just two people managed to get in there. I shared my testimony, and they said, oh, can you, because I thought, well, I'll record this just to see how it works. You know, I was practicing, seeing if the technology would work. So in recording it, then they said, well, will you put it up on YouTube so that other people who didn't come into the group can see it? I said, oh, yeah, great. And then someone emailed me and said, well, can you make it wider, because actually more people are interested. Well, as a result of that, everything fell into place. But I didn't go about thinking, how can I do this? I'm just going to follow Jesus in it, and he will do what he needs to do, because that's what he told me he would do, you know. So a lot of these things in mandates and things, you know, a mandate really is the authority to do something, and that authority comes from your scroll of destiny. But then you can get specific scrolls and specific mandates to do the individual things that are there as you go forward. And, you know, I'm now doing things differently than I would have done even 3 months ago, because I have now got greater revelation. You know, I've been shown how to make a law in a court. I've been shown how to get something authorized in the Court of Chancellors. You know, I'd been to some of those places as observers, but I'd never really sort of followed the protocols and outworked it. My engagement with Wisdom helped a lot there, because there she's there to help us rule. Well, what is ruling? Enforcing a mandate. You know, so in a sense, you know, bringing the kingdom is bringing a mandate into manifestation, because it's an authorization to do something that God has given you authority to do. You know, and obviously we do want that outworked in a earthly sense. So it's not just all heavenly. And so, but depending on what your call is and what the mandate is, it may well be to do heavenly things that open the doors for other people and other things. You know, it's just, what is it that God's calling each individual to do at any one point in time, and then beginning to outwork it. And but I do believe when people then come together in groups, and particularly like benches of three, people in authority, or sevens come together to administrate the kingdom, then you can go and ask for specific mandates. You know, it's like, we've been called to this, we're going to go and get a scroll for this, you know, and then you then are more proactive. So a lot of things that happen to us at the beginning, you know, we sort of stumble over, or we get an encounter, then we realize, hey, we can do this. In fact, no, we're supposed to do this. In fact, if we don't do this, we're not going to function properly. So everything builds, really, into then you see everything has to be done from a judicial perspective, because the kingdom is everything. And if it isn't judicial, then it isn't reigning in the kingdom. And you suddenly realize, you know, when you get the Robert Henderson stuff, where you say, yes, and they said, well, yeah, of course it is. You know, it's like, we don't battle in prayer. We operate with judicial authority, because that's what a kingdom does. A king has authority over a realm, and in that realm, the laws of the realm get outworked. You know? And that's how we then administer on behalf of the king in the realm that we've been called to administer. You know, so that's really how, you know, I would see us doing it. You know, it just, the more we learn, the more we can do, you know, and the greater then the effect that has, because we know what we're doing. You know, when we first practice and we're first doing stuff, we're a little bit hesitant and we're not quite sure, and we're just learning what it is. But, you know, I would have never thought that I would have gone before the Galactic Council and presented a case for my area. And I went with authority. You know, I didn't feel, I need to come sort of like and hope they're going to listen to me. There was a boldness that seemed to be in my spirit that just brought to bring this stuff out really boldly. But I've been carrying those things within my heart. So it just came out in that way. And there was no sense of offense. It was almost like, well, that's how you should come. If you're going to come to this level of court, you need to know that you can come here, and you need to know what you're asking for, sort of thing. And so that, again, was, you know, that's the sort of, the highest level of court that I've been into like that. I learned to do it in the mobile court to start with, you know, just over issues around my own life. You know, okay, I need to get a mandate or a separation order from this behavior or this mindset or this thing, you know, or this demonic influence. And therefore, I learned to get judicial authority there and apply it. And then I've learned that actually how it works for everything. It's just in slightly different context is, but it's all basically the same process and same system of protocol. You just get to do it in different places, and when you get to operate in kingship, it's different than you operate in lordship. And so just what you can do becomes slightly different, because you're given a greater access to things that you weren't before, you know. So yeah, I think that's how I would sort of see that, if that helps.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
No problem. Right, I've got to get going. I've got another.